Hi, this is Georgie.
Hey, guys. This is Cole Liker.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
The Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitute.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood!
Good evening, everybody. It is Friday night, January 5th, the first show of the new year. We're back from our little break. Dan, are
physically
back from physically the refrigerator.
Back.
Yes, physically. Mentally, well, let's face it, mentally we were never here to begin with. This is the Unused Substitute coming to you live on Radio St. Pete as part of the Beautiful Game Network. And, well, if we took 2.5 weeks off, we figured there might be some stuff to talk about, and it's all happened in like the last 3 days.
And
in
a
some
little
cases,
bit.
The last 30 minutes. we've got Rowdy's news, we've got league news, we've got preseason possible news, we've got random breaking news. Something else will probably come out while we're talking tonight. So Twitter's open. We'll try and try to get everybody to schedule their announcements around us going on air, but we'll see if anyone has something they're going to throw out there. How was your break?
Not long enough.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, I always feel that same way too.
I don't know. I'm not ready for this. Not that I don't miss the Rowdies or, you know, podcasting or whatever, but I think coming off of last year's lack of offseason with the NASL drama and the continuing NASL drama and lower league soccer drama.
Right.
I need a vacation.
Well, we're going to talk some more about that drama in a little bit, which seems like it might be maybe the end is in sight. I don't know.
Yeah, we said that. I think we said that this time last year.
Yeah. Well, who knows? But to kick off the, I'm calling this the first show of, what is this, fourth season now? Fourth year we've been doing this?
Yeah, because we came in a split season in 2014.
Right, we cosmosed the first season.
Which, I mean, considering the way the NASL worked back there, what, it was like six games and then a break, so, yeah, we'll call this the fourth season.
Yeah. We'll round up. That's my math skills right there. I'm going to start it off with the only way I know how, which is a lie because usually it's Coke Zero. But this time, this is the sound of a big storm wave maker. And you went and got a nice can of water, right?
Yeah, I already opened that can of water. I mean, you know, there's a lot to say about how crappy Bud Light is. But while we're calling it water, it still tastes better than LaCroix.
Well, true. And given the amount of caffeine you ingested, it might be a smarter thing to mix that instead of stronger beers to begin with.
Hey, man. Listen, I was just like laying around listening to other podcasts, not soccer related. And I was falling asleep and I was like, I can't be dead for our first one back. And so I was like, let's make a latte. And then I was like, I need more. So I just kept pulling shots. And then I was like, yeah, let's just add some hot water, make it an Americano. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, no, now I see sound.
So you were like, shots, 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 shots. I was trying to load the audio file, but I didn't get to it in time.
all the jokes about Dan 2.0 or 3.0 or whatever we're on now. If the shots I'm doing are espresso shots, I've officially the update has been installed.
So Dan 5.0 is weaning yourself off caffeine.
No, that's never gonna happen. Never gonna happen.
Mine was pretty good. I think the day after we did the last show, I got sick and was in bed for about a week, which was cool. That was fun, you know, enjoying the beginning of my winter break by spending, I think it was like the Wednesday before Christmas. Is that when we did the last show?
I don't remember.
I'm going to just say like that because roughly why not? That was my last day of work. Then Thursday, took my daughter to school, picked her up, and then I was in bed from the Thursday before Christmas until like Christmas Eve night. And I think I only got up just to wrap some presents and put them away. So I spent most of the beginning of the break doing that. And then the rest of the break, like now I was like, I'm feeling better and Christmas is over and the lights are down, and the decorations are put away. And I'm like, okay, let's just get back to soccer as soon as possible. So first up, I suppose we can talk about the signings because there's been some signings finally.
There is, really? We that's a thing?
Old ones and new ones. And apparently not just right now. They're going to be ongoing. There's like a GIF thread going on Twitter of related to the show tonight, apparently. And it's Cody and Kevin, so it gives you an idea of where this is going to go.
Oh, okay, good, because I don't have the actual podcast account. I have it on my phone, but I got an Apple Watch, and so like I can stay on top of Rowdy's breaking news while I'm at my work trade show next week.
Oh, that's right, because you're going out on Sunday, aren't you?
Yep.
Which is why we're doing Thursday next week. That's right. I remember.
Yep. So, but if that was going on, my wrist would be going nuts right now.
Yeah. Right. Well, yesterday was our first day back at work from winter break. And because the proper time to introduce a new, like, all encompassing software package everyone has to use is the middle of the school year, we had training on that today. And I'm trying to, like, sneak peeks at Twitter while I'm in there because I know there's announcements coming at like 10 a.m. And then that's, you know, tomorrow when there's supposed to be another announcement, which I think is they posted that in the either on Twitter or in the news release today. I'll be in a high school gym in Leesburg, Florida, trying not to freeze and hopefully contributing to the discussion over who tomorrow is.
Side note, I mean, I appreciate them seemingly trying to keep the roster page updated. But it definitely looks like that Cody Mizell's face and like head and neck were photoshopped onto Akira's picture.
Oh God!
I don't know. I'm trying to. This is what I'm doing right now. Is I'm now trying to forensically think. But I it definitely looks like it. That was my first thought. And the closer I look at the jersey, it looks like it is exactly the same picture.
All right, so to start off, they got off to the roster additions for this year. We talked about before break about the guys that were retained, Joe Cole and Marcel Schaefer and Akira and Vingard and Nanchoff and Morel and Portillos and Sebastian Guinzatti. I think that's everybody.
What? Guinzatti, Vingard, Schaefer.
There was nine guys.
Nanchoff, Morel, Leo. Oh, no, Leo came second.
Yeah, Leo
was, Joe Cole, yeah. Portillos, and Neil, and Akira.
Oh, yeah, Neil. How can I forget
How did
Neil?
You forget Neil Collins? what the F, David Blaine?
I'm drinking beer, that's why. I'll blame it on that. I've had three sips, and I'm old. So the first two that were announced were returning signings. And I was kind of surprised by these. I thought these guys, at least one of these, was probably a lock to definitely move on. But Hunter Gorski and Leo Fernandez have returned for another season. Leo, not necessarily so surprised at because, you know, he got injured pretty early on last year and missed a significant chunk of time. I thought Hunter was going to be moving on. I kind of had the gut feeling about that. But I'm glad to have both those guys back.
Especially Hunter. And that's not a shot at Leo. We know he's a proven, like, winger and assist guy. But Hunter Gorski came in late in the year and took that right center back position and made it his own. Yes, don't get me wrong, not a perfect defender. You can say that like his giveaway led to a couple of goals, especially in that like last playoff game, one of his giveaways led to a goal.
Right.
But overall, solid, has pace. I mean, a couple mistakes here or there. Everybody makes them. They're human. You can't kill them for that. I think keeping the majority of that back line together is huge going forward.
So I'm gonna speculate. Hunter returning probably means the end of Tam's time in Tampa
Bay.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Alliterate, that was nice. So if true, best wishes to Tam. Did a fantastic job while he was here. Always welcome back at Al Lang, one of my favorite guys. I was really happy when he was named captain a couple years ago.
It felt like an interim captain because didn't Joe Cole come later that year?
Yeah, like later. Just about. And then Leo Fernandez back as well, too, and recovered from his injury. So I'm going to guess that's the end of the Walter Restrepo experiment?
Hopefully. And I don't mean that in a mean... Well, kind of do. I know people are sold on Walter Restrepo, but I really wasn't. Maybe that's just me being overly critical. He wasn't bad per se, but like I think we could have done more in that position.
Right.
But I definitely, I mean, I would not even just because of Leo for the end of Walter Restrepo. I mean, Alex Morel was a revelation and should get that playing time.
Yeah. It's good. I think you're going to see a lot more time of him on the field this year coming up than we did last year. And even though he really impressed with what he did last year anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've said it on Twitter a couple times that we've kept a good solid core of this team. The spine is pretty well intact. We just need a right back still. Obviously you hope it's Darnell right. King or Kyle Porter. But we'll see. This team's building quite nicely. Not too many. I mean, like I said, good core to build off of veterans and with Alex Morel, some youth. And it'll be nice so far. I like.
You did a nice little setup there without even knowing it because I was going to talk about we've seen probably the majority of players coming back that we're going to see. There might be. I don't know, maybe one or two more. We haven't been told this. We haven't, you know, hasn't been like hinted or something like that. But I'm guessing of the guys who are out there that were here last year and not signed, that we're only going to see kind of one or two back. So I went yesterday, I went to the page where the Rowdies talked about who was coming back and who they were in negotiations with. And I set up a couple of polls for different positions. And also I realized this after I put the last one out there, they didn't mention being in negotiations with Martin Patterson, and it was kind of up in the air about whether he might want to return or not. So I'm guessing that one's done too, but we'll talk about who looks to be his replacement in a few minutes. But I wanted to real quick, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take the winner of each one of these polls and then put them into a poll of their own. I guess you're the pool boy, I'm the poll boy. I don't know.
Yeah, you can do all the polling you want. I hate polling. And
I guess a pollster.
I'm getting crap on Twitter for being negative today, but you know, like screw it. Let's keep it going. Screw polls, screw Twitter, screw no, just
it's
kidding.
All that caffeine.
I'm actually interested to see the results of these polls.
All right.
I mean, Darnell King has a special place here in our hearts. And, I would love to see him back. Kyle Porter was absolutely solid with his time here. So it's interesting to see, or if we bring back a completely different right back that's not even either of them, it'll be interesting to see. So far, the little bit we've seen, re-signing we'll get there, but the moves we've made so far I've liked, so I've got faith.
All right, so here are the results, starting with defenders, and I threw Nico Campbell in there because he defends the goal, or he would have if he'd ever gotten on the field.
Has anybody voted for Nico Campbell? Because if they did, like, let me. I wish they weren't anonymous so I could we can call them out.
So I had a special place in my heart for Nico Campbell because it turned out he's in the same fraternity I was in college. Who I also just found out today, so is Hopper from Stranger Things.
He's a fictional character, Matthew.
I don't care. He's cool. No one voted for Nico.
Not that I don't like Nico Campbell. It's, right. You know, he didn't play a role in this team.
At
I
all.
Believe he took up a foreign, like a international roster spot, which we don't need.
But he never even made the bench, did he?
No, I don't think so.
So Darnell King won with 74% of the vote. Kyle Porter, 17%, and then Tam with 9. And I voted in all these too, and I'll say who I voted for.
Oh, so you're skewing all of the polls that you're doing. What are we doing? What is this circus we're running over here?
My vote, trust me, didn't make a difference. although I like, this is a tough call because Darnell's been here a while. He's a great guy. Just got married. Congratulations, Darnell. I like everything. I don't have a thing against Darnell, but my gut just said Porter. I really liked what I saw out of Porter in the time he got to play last year, and maybe I'm smitten by that, you know, nearly half-field goal in the Open Cup. But I voted for Porter in that one, but I was one of maybe, you know, two or three. I don't know. Darnell won that one pretty handily.
He's a fan favorite. You can't get rid of Darnell. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, Kyle Porter's great. I did enjoy what he brought a little, almost like a calming influence to the right back spot. Darnell's is energetic. It's more like kinetic energy on that right back spot. But Stewart's system seemed to want to attack from the flanks with your outside backs bombing forward whenever possible with speed. I mean, Kyle Porter obviously could do it at times, but was more of a stay-at-home type guy. So, I mean, it all depends how Stewart's setting it up and, you know, what these guys want to do. It's up to them. You know, they got to see what's best for them and their families and life.
Next up was the midfielders. The three up there for voting were Keith Savage, Justin Chavez, and Walter Restrepo. Real quick, put you on the spot. Who did you vote for?
Chavo.
Okay. Chavo, same here. Wait, if I'm skewing the results, what are you doing?
I mean, you put the poll up. You didn't do it from the podcast account. You did it from your account.
Chavez with 39%. Savage, 33%. And Restrepo, 28%. So it was a little more balanced than the last one.
Don't get me wrong. Keith Savage, you know, played his been a great servant to the club. I don't want to lose him, but I think you can, if you keep Chavo, he can fill in at center back. Was absolutely solid in the holding midfielder role.
Right.
I just would love to keep Chavo there here. Obviously keep Savage if I could, but maybe put him, you know, coaching the youth, get him in the youth stuff, get him in the younger kid, like get him coaching and stuff. Walter Restrepo is never sold on.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of the same. And then the last one, forwards, only two to choose from. Darwin Jones and Georgie Ristoff.
Okay.
I mean, just guess how this one turned out.
I mean, it's probably like 99 or 100% for Georgie Ristoff.
88% for Georgie, 12% for Darwin Jones.
Well, those 12% can kiss my Jewish butt. I might have to take a like bereavement leave if Georgie Ristoff is not re-signed. You guys might not hear from me for a while. Like, I'll have to go through a period of mourning and just weep into pillows and alcohol for quite a while, because I mean, he was the first player I knew when I started paying attention to this club, and obviously, he's a class act and is just fantastic. I mean, he still got it. He was what, our club leading scorer last season?
Yeah, 15 goals.
I mean, I don't know. I would be devastated if we lost the Georgie.
Is quite possibly the only guy we've talked about in every episode, if I had to guess, because the whole first episode was us griping about people complaining that Georgie was lazy.
Yeah, he had to go home, and we talked about his hair, and then, you know, I think, like, if it's possible, I mean, I don't think I have enough time or desire to, but I would love to go back and just find the little Georgie things, like Georgie's hair, Georgie stole my girl,
Georgie all those FaceTiming.
Just make, if he's not here, just make a Georgie compilation episode, or like as a special or something that we could just put up to download if you wanted to hear it.
So here's what I'm you know, kind of one of the things I'm getting at in the press release yesterday for one of our new signings, who we'll talk about in a minute. Bill Edwards is quoted as saying, you know, we scored a club record number of goals last year. We want to do even more this year. Okay. So they went and got a guy who scored more goals than, Patterson, and he did it for Rochester, which, you know, that's like 32-1-0-1-1 games right there. Georgie scored 15. So if you're not going to re-sign him, who are you going to get to replace him?
Who won the Golden Boot in England? No, I'm just kidding. we're signing Mo Salah.
Oh, like, it was Dane Kelly over in the Western Conference. He's already he still with Reno. But yeah, so you know, it's one of those things where and like when I voted on the defenders, I try not to get the emotional part involved because you don't want to. I don't want to pick a guy who's just a fan favorite.
I do. I'm here for with my heart. Like
I am, but I also want, you know, good play and wins. Not that Darnell doesn't assist in that, but I try to like overlook the emotional part first. And you look at Georgie, who's 32, and you might think to yourself, well, you know, maybe re-signing, you know, investing in a 32-year-old guy at, you know, one of your most crucial positions isn't the right idea. He still scored 15 goals last year.
And not to mention 15 goals while playing, like, out on the left-hand side.
Yeah, so if you're going to replace him, you better find someone with a lot of goals in him, because they've been trying to replace Georgie, I think, for the last 2 or 3 years, and he just keeps scoring goals. And I don't care if it's, if you know, it's 5 or 6 of them are penalties, he's still scoring goals.
I mean, we have a German for this last season. So if we need to replace somebody on penalties, Germans tend to be automatic. Yeah. Don't let the Englishman Joe Cole take him.
But, by the way, should I preemptively tell you that there is an autographed Georgie jersey on eBay right now?
I mean, I don't need to buy. Like, do I really need to buy it? Like, can't I just take like my Rowdy's jersey to a game?
Not if he's not there.
I mean, I'm sure we could find a way.
I just, you know, at this point, I want him to be back. I don't want to start seeing Vegas and Nashville announcing more players and Georgie pop up on one of those.
Okay. Listen, if he doesn't sign here, he better retire because I cannot stand seeing Georgie Ristoff. Like,
this is what I'm saying.
Playing in any other American team. If he plays anywhere else in like another country, I'd be okay. But I cannot see Georgie Ristoff playing for another U.S.-based club. I will. You guys might not hear. Do a welfare check in about 24 hours after that news has been released, because I will be weeping somewhere, and I don't know how dark it'll get.
Georgie to the Canadian Premier League.
I mean, yeah, that's fine. As long as it's not in like the U.S. As long as he's not playing the Rowdies. Like, just I wouldn't be able to do it. I couldn't handle it. It would be an emotional breakdown for me. It would be absolutely. Absolutely terrible, and I don't know if I'm too emotionally sensitive for this, guys. Like, I mean, you guys follow me on Twitter. You see those late night drunk meltdowns. Come on, what matters if Georgie leaves?
Do it for Dan's mental health, Bill.
Come yeah, on. Like it's 2K18. Like we're supposed to be doing practicing self care and stuff. You can't do it.
So that's it. I'll put another poll up later with those three. To see who like kind of the top two favorites are from the hashtag Rowdy's family. So now on to the new signings, although one's not really totally new, but might as well be, I'll say. Yesterday they announced I'm calling this guy the Pato replacement. Has anyone heard his name pronounced? Because I'm sure I'm going to screw it up. Is it Jokin?
I have no idea. That's why I have you. You're the, you know, you're the host. You're supposed to know these.
I went back to work yesterday. I didn't get to do anything. I don't know if it's Jokin or Jokin or I don't know. But Jokin, I'm going to go with that for now. Jokin Graf, who was in USL for the first time last year with Rochester, was their offensive player of the year, voted on. I guess got the award from the team. 11 goals. He's what? So you know, like a one or two goals more than Patterson. About 2 years younger. Looks to be kind of a fiery, emotional guy. With a name like that, you would think he is from.
Not local, not domestic.
Texas.
Yeah, that's. I already looked up at all that.
And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
And I had a perfect joke about like you want a striker from Texas because you know they can shoot.
Oh,
but
wow.
What, you know, they're cowboys.
This is true. Looks to have maybe a similar personality to Patterson. I think this guy's going to be well liked around Al Lang. A lot of comments online from Rochester fans. I even saw, I put it up on our Facebook page, and one of the Indy fans who, spoiler, there's another news topic we're going to talk about. One of the Indy fans said that he had tried out, was in like the open tryouts for them when they first started. And he wished they had signed him right there. He's going to be, you know, was what would have been great. Will be good. So I'm looking forward to see what he can do. Ginger striker. We got a ginger striker now.
Great. No, I'm looking forward to seeing how he fits in with us and all of that fun stuff. I like that signing a lot. Goals are always welcome. We need more of them. So let's see. I mean, the Georgie speculation is rightfully so. Like, I can see why it exists, but you and I have gone back and forth on this and in conversations, and while a lot of evidence points to maybe not being here, we carried what, three strikers on and off for the year last year,
right?
And we have let's see, let me go scroll through back down here. This is what we have Graf and Guinzotti listed as forwards. So that only leaves possibly one more. And Neil Collins said in that interview that we'll be maintaining basically the same, like a similar roster size. So either we could have less midfielders, because we already, I mean, 1, 2, 3,
Fernandez,
4, 5, 6. We already got 6 midfielders.
Yeah.
So maybe, I mean, we are lacking completely in defensive depth.
6 or 7, because they said the roster was at 13. We've got 2 keepers and 2 forwards. 9 fielders?
Let's see. Vingard, Schaefer, Nanchov, Morel, Fernandez, Joe Cole. 6 are listed on here.
Interesting.
And then 3 defenders is 9. 2 keepers is 11.
Oh,
I
didn't even have the defenders in my head. That's
You keep forgetting Neil Collins. What is wrong with you tonight?
I've almost finished this beer, that's why.
He's friend of the pod, Neil Collins.
It lives in my neighborhood, Neil Collins.
Like, okay, so let's see. Marcel Schaefer, Alex Morel, and Neil Collins are the friends of the pod left on the roster.
Oh, I know. We got to make new friends.
You keep forgetting Neil Collins. So maybe he won't be a friend of the pod because you keep forgetting Neil Collins.
Oh, that's bad.
I'm really upset. Like, I mean, it's not original, but I'm very upset that we didn't like market those shirts.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, that came from Men in Blazers first.
Yeah. Well, the Crooked Media guys are, I mean, I own one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Men in Blazers was what, good friend of the pod or great friend, whatever, GFOP?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right, and then another new signing today on the other end, instead of going forward, trying to score goals, trying to keep goals from being scored, former Rowdy, Cody Mizell, has returned.
Okay, so side note, Cody chimed in, and it is Johan.
I thought you meant Cody Mizell for a second. I was like, crap, he's listening?
Yeah, Cody Mizell said he wants to be a friend of the pod. No. So, yeah, that's what that is.
Yeah, Sam just DM'd us two with the same thing. I haven't had a chance to watch I've watched the highlight video, but not with the sound on, because it's hard to do that when you're in meetings and not get caught, but I didn't get to hear the pronunciation. So cool. Johan.
Don't mess with a Johan? Can that be the thing?
Well, I guess I can't make the you better not be joking jokes now.
Yeah, don't do that.
I mean, they were bad enough as they were. Yeah.
Secondly, that's not his name.
Look, I mean, I fought hard to not do that yesterday.
Well, I'm glad you did. You didn't.
Don't catch me joking around. I mean, that'd be bad. So Johan Groff. And Cody Mizell, who was here in, 2000? Were we even doing this when he was here?
I think so. I think he was the backup that never saw any time.
Or did he leave before the last half season when we started? I forget. I don't know.
No, I'm pretty sure he was here. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think he was here for the first season.
Wasn't he, splitting time with, Ryan Thompson, and it was the year we really had nobody in the net at all?
No, because 2012
was that Nella, then 13 was Restrepo.
Yeah, he was here 2014.
Well, that's what, is that when Pickens came in then, too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So Mizell made 5 appearances, and, younger guy back then, didn't make a huge impression, and Matt Pickens was obviously the guy. He moved on, he went overseas to Europe for a year, and then has been in Charlotte for the last 2 years, and was one of the 5 finalists for the USL Goalkeeper of the Year, has really turned himself into a really, really good goalkeeper.
Yes, that's why I made my nickname for him on Twitter today, and I called him the Miser from all of the savings he's doing.
Mizell the Miser. Nice.
Yeah, yeah, clever. I wasn't drinking at that point.
So safe to say that the number one goalkeeping spot is going to be contested before we go into the regular season. I mean, those are 2 starting quality guys we've got right there.
Oh yeah. Akira was fantastic for the little bit he spelled Matt Pickens here. Mm-hmm. He was fantastic in Carolina. Both are extremely quality keepers. That'll be interesting how it plays out. You, I think, made an offhand comment about how, Cody's definitely not here to be the backup. Right. I don't see why he would leave a prime starting job in Charlotte to come here and warm the bench. So I don't know how this is going to play out. It'll be very interesting. Honestly, and this is not a shot at Akira, I like Akira a lot, and I like what he brings to the table, but I'm starting Cody after coming off the season he had last year.
Yeah, he might give him the nod early on, and we'll wait and see what happens. But yeah, it's, and every team wants to say, and all the fans want to say, oh, we've got 2 starting quality keepers every year, and, you're kind of being nice to the guy who doesn't get the nod. But, I mean, these are 2, legit number one keepers.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was weird that Akira came last year, probably knowing that, Matt Pickens was the guy, right? Like, so I don't know if there was assurances that maybe he was going to be, but I don't know. Maybe Akira is, down with being the backup. We don't know. I mean, we don't know what's said in the negotiations or anything, but either way, the competition in the position will definitely help out both of these guys and keep them in there at top of their game. So that only benefits us as fans and this team.
Right.
So quality in every position is great, especially if you have guys battling it out and not getting complacent.
Well, I know when I mentioned to Neil Morris last year that Fitzgerald was popping up as a trialist in the preseason, that he said, well, he probably won't sign because he won't want to be the backup, and Pickens is obviously the guy. So I don't know. Did Matt know early that this was going to be his last season? Did he have something worked out with Nashville already? Did he know that he wasn't going to be offered maybe a contract extension here? I don't know. But, yeah, that's kind of interesting to see how that all has played out and how it's going to play out going going forward. Whoever gets that job, I mean, they're going to earn it.
And the I mean, and the other thing is right back not withstanding, he's got a wall of great of you know very good defenders in front of him.
Right.
I remember we didn't well that little stretch where Akira started. He didn't even he faced what like one or two shot like four shots in four games or something. Like we started that the season so good and so strong defensively that it was crazy. So I mean. We'll see what happens going forward. But I mean, there's no, like you said, no clear cut number or starter going into the opening of the season, and we'll see what happens.
I like it. I like that there's positions up for grabs, especially when you've got really good guys fighting for it. So I'm kind of anxious to see how this works out. We might have to see if we can get into some preseason training sessions and see what's going on. So looking at what's left, and there's going to, they said, more announcements. There'll be one tomorrow and some more next week. Assuming our roster is roughly the same size, which is what we've heard, there's still room for about eight or nine guys. What do we need? What's left?
A right back.
We need a right back, yep.
Defensive depth, maybe like one or two extra guys back there. I mean... let's see. Leo Fernandez, he could play left wing per se. Maybe another holding midfielder
right.
With Martin Vingegaard. Chavo would be nice. But maybe another striker or two. If we go to that 4-3-3 type deal that we did towards the end of the season, you know, we're there. But we just, it's outside of, you know, Georgi Hristov, just it's and a right back, it's just depth at this point.
Maybe what? Maybe a third keeper, you think?
Yeah, I think he's not a third keeper, or maybe not, and just, you know, loan somebody in or whatever.
Right.
But,
interesting to see what happens. You know.
Yeah, I would rather carry extra strikers than I would an extra keeper, and then maybe later on sign one and loan them in, but right. Who knows?
All right, so the other thing I wanted to do was take a look at, real quick, who else has been improving themselves off the pitch, and mostly because USL is running this nice little transfer tracker page, and I'm going to show my bias and say I'm really, really paying attention to the independent clubs. Because there's so many other factors at play with the B teams. Charleston has kept, you know, of their players coming in or returning, it's a lot of players they had before. They've only got one real new person in who comes from Tulsa, and I never watched any Tulsa games last year, so I don't know if the guy's any good or not. But he's like it's like they're, you know, 9.5 foot tall forward or something. Charlotte hasn't brought anybody new in. Cincinnati is because I mean they cleared house of guys. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Like, yeah, they brought back about as many guys as we did. They brought back 8 guys from last year, either re-signed or who are still under contract, but have brought in a ton of guys. They brought in Forrest Lasso from Charleston, who you remember is the guy who tried to take out Joe Cole last year. A couple of the names that would pop out. Tommy Heineman, former Rowdy, last year with One Season Wonder San Francisco Deltas. Lance Lang from North Carolina FC. And also, he was with Edmonton, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Picked up Emmanuel Ledesma from the New York Cosmos. Pretty good signing there. They've brought in a ton of guys and a ton of quality guys. You might say they've improved themselves the most, but at the same time, like this, I mean, it's a ton of guys. Let me look at it here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 new guys so far and counting. I don't know how many more guys they might be bringing in. But now the thing is you've got to get all these guys to play together. Jake pointed out on Twitter yesterday that, you know, bringing in a bunch of kind of all-star guys doesn't always work out. I mean, Miami FC has been probably the best team, we said it before, in Division II this year. But the first year when they were, you know, signing guys left and right, I mean, they didn't make the playoffs in NASL.
Well, to be fair, there, Miami FC, they started the season so poorly.
Right.
And then they started buying the talent. But they were also an extremely well-coached team. I'm not sure you could say the same. This isn't a massive insult at Cincinnati. It is a shot. But I don't think they're, you know, that great. They're well-coached. You can argue otherwise of about the Open Cup run, blah, blah, blah. Mitch Hildebrandt's gone. He's what bailed them out of a lot there.
Right.
I don't think, you know, I don't know going forward if maybe, you know, this guy, the FC Cincinnati's coach, figured it out. But he's now kind of starting from scratch with some big egos. I mean, Lance Lang, you know, where was he? He was somewhere else, wasn't he? And it didn't work out very well. Tommy Heinemann's great. I mean, we know he didn't work out here, but that doesn't mean anything. He just couldn't settle, I think. But, you know, you just because you sign some quality players and whatever, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to mesh. You can't buy chemistry.
Right. I mean, it's going to take them a while. I thought it was smarter than to get all these guys in early, but they haven't begun practicing yet. That's not going to be that huge of a difference. They are going to be down here in Bradenton, I'm pretty sure, for some preseason games. So I might try and catch them and see who's out there. Maybe catch up with Tommy. We haven't talked to him since he was on the show at one time, wasn't he? And then we talked to him at the preseason party before.
You could say he's a friend of the pod.
Yeah, kind of. Louisville, defending champions, have only added two new players. A defender from Cincinnati and a midfielder from Europe. But as well as they played last year and in the postseason, keeping a huge bit of their core together might be the best option to begin with.
Well, yeah. Why would you want to mess with a team that won the championship? That right. And also pretty much ran away with the East. Like, why? You don't screw with what worked.
Ottawa has not added anybody new. They've re-signed and picked up options on some of their guys. And they've got a coaching change, and now they took their guy who had no real experience coaching, and now they made him the technical director. So we'll see how that all.
I mean, he's a former player. He's like a Canadian.
He's the captain.
Treasure.
Yeah, but it'll take him some time to work into that role a little bit. Penn FC has added nobody that we know of yet. The Pittsburgh Riverhounds are now the Pittschester Rhino Hounds. After bringing over the Rochester coach and now the Rochester assistant, Christian Pulisic's dad, re-signed about five of their own players and brought in one, two, three, four, another five players from Rochester, but not the guy that we got. Hopefully that's a good thing.
I mean, I'd like to think that we got the better end of that deal.
We'll find out. Richmond, who was total bottom of the table, have brought in two new guys and kept several guys from last year. So I don't know if you can say they're really improved. St. Louis, I mean, a lot of people are going to talk about Louisville, but I think St. Louis may have done the most. They changed coaches again. The 1 year Preki experiment did not quite work out, but they've brought in 11 new guys, including Walfall, who had a pretty good year with Rochester, Kadeem Dakers from Cincinnati, another you could say good friend of the pod, Corey Herzog has landed in St. Louis. I think they may have made themselves better. I don't know if they're going to be better than Cincinnati, but they may have improved themselves more than Cincinnati has. And then let's see who else are. Well, there's us, Toronto FC, don't care about Atlanta. We don't know what Atlanta United, which is what I'm going to call them, have done. Vegas hasn't announced anybody. Nashville is putting together a pretty good team. I mean, we know Pickens, but they also grabbed Kusuke Kimura, who played last year with Tulsa, but also was with Atlanta Silverbacks for a while. We've faced against him before. They brought in Justin Davis from Minnesota FC. They've got a couple good guys, a couple names on there that look pretty good. And North Carolina have brought in two guys so far that were not with them last year. Well, three guys. I have no idea how good any of them are. They still have Austin to lose, and we like him. So it'll be fun to see him around. Western Conference, I don't know who's made themselves better because I don't really know who was that. I mean, we don't know how good Western Conference was last year. So who knows?
Yeah, through the Western Conference. It'll be interesting.
It's going to depend a lot on what Vegas does, I think.
Yeah, I hate doing these things for the sheer fact that it's like just the lower division player carousel.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, Tommy Heinemann is a great example, had a great year in Ottawa, or a great couple years in Ottawa, came here, couldn't settle, couldn't figure it out, moves to San Francisco, has a massive year, and is now in Cincinnati, so we'll see how that goes.
I think he scored more in the Open Cup this year than he did in Tampa Bay, ever.
That's probably accurate.
So moving on to the next part, preseason, which we haven't heard anything official yet. Just some whispers from places and hints we're seeing online. I have a feeling that we'll get preseason information next week, if only because we're starting to run out of time. And also the way they've been wording some of the releases, you know, there'll be other announcements and player signings in the next week. So I kind of have a feeling preseason might be the next up. The one thing we've all wondered about is, will the Suncoast Invitational return? According to the Philadelphia Union, yes, who they're training in Clearwater. Some of their guys have been training at Al Lang and at the USF practice field that we use, and there have been pictures of them. Some of their players working independently with a group run by Oguchi Onyewu. So they've been in town working on stuff, but they listed their preseason stuff on their website. The first training session will be January 30th to February 8th, and the second from February 12th to the 25th. During the 12th and 25th, there'll be many activities for fans to interact with the union. The teams will participate in the Suncoast Invitational with three preseason games. So I'm going to assume we're going to have like four teams here for the four teams total, I guess, for the Invitational, us, Philadelphia, and two other teams. I don't know if Montreal comes back because I know they're going out west for a little bit, but they might come back over here. Toronto's been here before, and that'd be kind of cool to get the MLS champs in.
Wasn't it, I think, Adam Martin pointed out that Chicago Fire will seem to be in the area about that time?
Yeah, but they're here every year. They usually train up at USF, and then they never take part in this. Like, they might play a game or two down at IMG, but they've never...
Didn't they do it last year?
I don't think they were in it last year, no. I know they played at IMG. I don't think they played in the Invitational at all.
It wasn't the Red Bulls, was it?
Well, Red Bulls usually come to New York City, played a game out there, I want to say.
Because Dax, I remember seeing Dax. Was that before? That had to be before or after his trade. I'm pretty sure the Fire played last year.
Maybe they did. I'll have to go look it up again and see. But I mean, if Toronto comes back, that'd be kind of cool. What else would be cool, but I don't think it'll happen, would be if Atlanta came down. But they've got that affiliation with Charleston, and Charleston has their kind of preseason little cup tournament. Which honestly, and I said this to you earlier today, like if we're going to keep the Suncoast Invitational going, and I hope we do, like that might be something you kind of shift it towards that little, you know, four game mini cup kind of format. It might spark some more interest in people coming out to see something where they're, you know, competing for some kind of little trophy on the line, even if it's mostly ceremonial rather than just saying, hey, come watch some preseason training. Yeah, I don't know. See what happens. But that sounds like it's all but official. We'll wait to hear from...
Confirmation. Chicago was in the Suncoast Invitational last preseason. I'm not going crazy.
DC United was too, weren't they?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Because when I was searching online earlier today, I saw something from like their SB Nation blog saying they were waiting to hear from if the Rowdies were having the Invitational again. So at least they're wondering about it and look like they'll probably be participating in some way, shape, or form. There's always games down here at IMG. We're waiting for something to come out, but I did see a tweet from Lee Godfrey that tagged IMG, USL, MLS, Rowdies, and so, you know, I don't know. Maybe they'll play a game down here. That'd be fun.
They've done that in the past as well.
Yeah. I like games where I can go like 5 minutes from my house and do something.
Yeah, I wonder what that's like.
It's kind of nice. Doesn't happen that often, but I like it. And then there's usually, you know, a game against like USF or UT. It was UT last year, wasn't it? Didn't we go to that one?
Yeah, it's been UT pretty consistently.
I'd like to see a USF game again. I like
me too.
I like their stadium. I mean, UT's is nice too. I like USF. It'd be cool if they like switched it up every year or something.
Preseason.
So, I think we'll hear next week. I think that's my gut feeling. And then the news that broke about 45 minutes before we went on air. Indy 11 supposedly will be announced along with the USL schedule is joining the USL next week on Monday.
Yes, this is good. Good. I like this news a lot, to be honest.
Right.
I mean, I have quite a few fan or friends, quote unquote, from Indy up there. They're good people. Good, solid support. They had that one good year where they made the final.
Mm-hmm.
But then they've been pretty meh since, which is good because if we can, you know, beat them up. Well, we're notorious for drawing them on the road because we're terrible on the road. But hopefully we can do some, you know, it'll be a team that we can, that'll give us some more entertaining matches. And it'll be fun. I mean, familiar foes abound with North Carolina and Indy. So that's, I mean, it's sad for fans of NASL, but we're taking all your clubs. All your clubs are belong to us.
Yeah, this is another strike to the body of NASL, and I don't know how many
another
more
brick in the wall.
How many more they can weather? I don't think very many at all. Because now, and this is what was in the article that our former guest, and I guess we'll call him friend of the pod, even though you both have each other blocked on Twitter, Nipun
posted. Yeah, he's earlier. Definitely not a friend of the pod. Screw that guy.
He's a friend of half the pod. posted earlier that so they're going to announce them as coming to USL this season on Monday, which they're also going to announce Memphis for 2019. That Central Conference is going to be insane when they start that up in 2019.
The Midwest rivalry is fantastic
because you're going to have Memphis, you're going to have St. Louis, you're going to have Indianapolis, you're going to have Cincinnati for now, Nashville for now. Memphis is going to come in there. I mean, Birmingham's going to be, they're not really as close, but you're going to have some, you got Louisville. I'm just going to say Neil Collins because anytime I feel like I'm forgetting something, I think I should just say Neil Collins from now on. So I remember
at this
him.
Point, yes.
It's
atone for your sins.
I know, right? It's Big Storm's fault. It's going to be crazy in that conference. So I kind of, when I saw that article, I went back and looked at the teams. If they come in and everything else stands as is, then I think St. Louis goes back to the West, and that keeps the East and the West at 17 teams apiece. I know St. Louis, I think they hop conferences every year, it seems like. But with some of the players they've added, I wouldn't mind them going to the West. Make sure we have a. I mean, like I said, they got Corey Herzog now, and he scores everywhere but Tampa Bay. So we'll see what happens there. That should be Monday's announcement. But my other question, well, two questions I have. One is, what's going on with Orlando's B team? Looking at it from a purely impartial point of view, which is hard to do. Their head coach left, went to St. Louis. A lot of their players left. Some have gone to St. Louis. Some have gone to other teams. They've made no announcements that I've seen about a new head coach. They've made no announcements about players that are being signed or brought in. There were rumors and speculation that they might be shutting down. at some point we need to know what's need to hear something out of them. I prefer
they never talk.
Yeah. There was some speculation that Jacksonville might be jumping from NASL to USL also, but Nipun says not this year. I don't know if that means possibly later or you know, not at all. Because if they jumped and Orlando doesn't run a B team, I mean, it would make business sense, I guess, maybe for both teams if Jacksonville affiliated, as much as I don't want any more B teams. But I mean, they wouldn't have to be a B team necessarily. I mean, they could just be an affiliate. Which isn't as bad.
Their fans are already like Orlando Light.
I know,
so
right?
I guess
very
it's
light.
Fitting. but really, I mean, I guess there's all that talk about Robert Palmer and his like business model and blah 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 blah. I don't know.
And the kids he
your
allegedly
business model
allegedly
is to screw
basement.
Your team over and not allow them to play in a year or two. So, that sounds like a terrible idea.
Well, that's the thing. You know, some of these teams, and I know New York announced it the other day that they extended the contracts of some others to keep them on the payroll. And keep them paid, which is cool, good thing to do. But Rocco Camiso has already said, well, I don't think that NASL possibly playing in April or May is out of the question. You know, if everything falls their way, they could start up maybe in the summertime. How many players are going to want to sit around, even if you're getting paid, and not play? I mean, you've got to train and you've got to kind of do this all on your own if the team isn't, you know, having normal operations. At some point these guys are going to say, you know, just get me to a team where I can, you know, have the structure to my day the way I'm used to.
Yeah. I mean, these guys are competitors, right? Like they're not, it's like having a sports car and leaving it in idle for outside. Like they don't want that. They want to play. Yeah, it'll be kind of cool to collect a paycheck, but you know, ask any athlete, practice and training is nothing like the experience of a game, either the adrenaline rush or whatnot, or just to keep your skills and to keep you in that mode, right? Like they're not going to want to sit out for an extended period of time, especially if they might have had they could have had other offers.
Yeah, so that sounds like that'll be the club set for this year. And I don't want to say another nail in the coffin, but I mean, it's just how much longer can NASL keep going on with, you know, on paper now they've got six clubs, four of whom are on the East Coast, two of whom are on the West Coast and have never played a game or held a practice or have players. Supposedly one was going to hire Winalda as the technical director and Preki as the coach, and that's out. Preki, I think, went, he's like someone's assistant now or somewhere, or has gone somewhere else, and Winalda's off chasing the U.S. soccer presidency. So, you know, really, you've got four existing clubs and, you know, some possibly...
don't forget, letters of intent,
yeah, you got
man.
A lot of letters
of intent.
But, I mean, they can just skip the regular season and go straight to the playoffs. Everybody's in. Even Puerto
I mean, Rico. That's pretty much what it was last year too, right?
Yeah, might as well be. I don't know. Will we get a hearing? Will we get a ruling from the appellate court before the league folds, or what's going to happen? And you know, we're not joking about the situation because it's terrible for the fans whose teams are involved, and it's you know the players
I am.
And the,
screw them all. I hated their teams and I hate them. No, I'm just kidding.
The players and the staff for the team, and you know, there's a ton of teams. The players will catch on somewhere, but they're going to be behind the eight ball, maybe at a little disadvantage with all these other players signing first, who have been signing, and these guys have kind of been out there in a holding pattern. I mean, they'll get somewhere eventually, but
you got to think that like the majority of these teams outside of like the Cosmos, because their owner is one of my least favorite individuals in American soccer. A lot of these guys, a lot of these people have to be sitting there going, if we don't have a ruling by such and such date, we're going to allow, maybe it's already even happened, we're going to allow our players to at least look for other opportunities.
Exactly.
Because it can't, it's not fair. I mean, well, the dude, since he just signed the Golden Boot winner or whatever from NASL. So it's got to, that's kind of has to be a thing, right? Like that kind of unspoken or like you know, behind the scenes, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, like, you're free to go here.
Right.
It has to be, like, it has to be there, because it wouldn't be fair to the players. And I don't think the players would want to play for a club that, like, holds them hostage during the situation.
No, I mean, you do that now, you have far fewer guys wanting to sign with you later on.
Right. I mean, well, yeah. So I think you just, you don't want to see the players and the staff get screwed. But at the same time, like, the owners that are there at this point in NASL, it saying we can't survive at Division III is like cutting off your nose to spite your face, right? Like, you can play, you can be successful. Like, look at the difference. I mean, there's a lot of talk going around that I actually haven't followed up on, but USL has not been guaranteed Division II sanctioning. There's right. been no talk of USL, and they're expanding. They're continuing on. No matter what their division status is, everybody is pretty much just ready to, business is proceeding like normal. There was no, hey, if we don't get Division II, then we have to fold all of these teams. We're done. This league right. is done. It was, hey, we built something sturdy that no matter whatever number you put next to our divisional status, we're going to continue to play because this is what we've built and it is sturdy. We wanted a stir, like, yeah, don't, before you start coming at me with like Rochester and whatever, you know, and this, that, but yes, that happens.
There's other factors in play at Rochester, though, if you read some of the news behind the scenes there.
Right. Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff going on there other than their divisional status. It's a complete mess.
Right. Well, and here's the thing is, even if USL gets Division III, and there's no NASL, then USL still is the second highest division of soccer in the country. And that's how they present themselves, and that's how they conduct themselves. It doesn't matter at that point. If NASL is going to hold on to this, we're not Division II, then we're not playing. Like, okay, if there's no competition at that same level, then the numbers don't matter at all. And the numbers don't matter really to begin with unless there's a way to you know, rise and go up and down the ladder. But yeah, and you know, they talk about the TV deals and stuff, and I was thinking about this the other day when the Rowdies announced they had extended the deal with Hard Rock to be the kit sponsor and everything. Like, do you think someone from Hard Rock said, well, do you guys know if you're Division II or Division III? I really doubt that conversation even took place.
Nor should it. But I mean, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting week or well, up until I keep an eye on it because I feel like that's part of our job description, even though this isn't a job. But and I'm slightly interested and intrigued, but it's not on the forefront of my concerns. I want to see the roster this team is the Rowdies are building, and from there, like I think one of my soccer resolutions for 2018 is to. Focus more on the Rowdies and enjoy this team and be the fan that I want to be while doing obviously this, but you know, less stressing about other things in the soccer world and focusing on my on what I can for the Rowdies.
Well, and that's, you know, kind of what our conversation was before the show was, I don't want to say I'm excited about, you know, teams leaving NASL and NASL possibly disappearing because of what it means for the fans and the employees and everything. I am excited by the possibility that this round of drama may be coming to an end. There might finally be a light at the end of the tunnel, and we can talk about something besides lawsuits and appeals and sanctioning and applications and waivers and everything else, because I'm tired of it. It doesn't interest me, but it's all that there is out there right now.
Yeah, I mean, it dominates the off season right now.
Honestly, I think, well, the stuff I've seen so far was that U.S. Soccer hired a consultant to review the application from USL and to give his feedback, and then the board would vote on what to go with. And supposedly it's going to be on the agenda at the next board meeting, which is January 14th, I want to say, is what I saw posted. Honestly, I think they're just waiting for the appeals judge to issue a ruling and NASL to react one way or the other, and then they'll announce the sanctioning for USL.
Yeah, I mean, I'm done.
I know, right?
Done.
Like, I just want to go to a game and have a beer and watch some goals get scored by us.
Hopefully.
That's all. That's all I want. Two other things real quick, and then we'll wrap up since we had mentioned that I threw Hard Rock out there. Did see a tweet from earlier, and this kind of goes back to what we talked about a few, it's almost a couple months ago now, I guess, at this point. The season ticket stuff. I did renew my season tickets in the end. I've got mine set for next year. One of our other good friends of the show got an email from one of the ticket reps saying that their Hard Rock promotion is now going on, and it's basically what season ticket holders got last year if you got your package from the season ticket from the ticket office. Except instead of a hotel stay, it's a $100 credit for the casino. And that there were limited packages available. So the question was, and he posed this to us, and I threw it right back out there at the Rowdy's Tickets account, who did not respond, despite going on to like more of our retweets. And also, I mean, I'm interested because I'm selfish. I'm a season ticket holder, again, for every year but the first one. So what's the deal? Is our existing did season ticket holders who renewed by the early renewal date receiving these benefits as well? Hopefully we'll get an answer.
I mean, I don't know. I don't like the fact that it's a limited offer. Like there's only a couple of those or a certain amount of those. I think one of the biggest things is like season ticket holders should all like, maybe renewals should get a little something, you know what I mean?
Right.
But there needs to be just an overall unified season ticket perk, right? Like, you can stratify them with the levels of like midfield, reserved, or whatever the premium seats are and go down like that.
Exactly.
But there should be a unified thing for season ticket holders, a gift. You shouldn't be, hey, well, he got that. Why didn't I get that? And if the answer is, well, we only had a limited number and you were, you know, you renewed and aren't a new one. No, like go screw yourself on that. There should be just a, you know, just one thing that everybody gets. And then if you want to do bonus things like that, they go to your tiers of like your price plans. Your highest tier can get that. You know what I mean? There shouldn't be a willy-nilly guessing game on who gets what.
Yeah, it should be kind of clearly defined and publicized. And I kind of almost had the feeling that the limited availability might just be some sales language, because really it's nothing to Hard Rock to comp $225 to somebody for, you know, play and then the meals and in the merchandise store. So we'll see. Maybe I'll email my rep and see if I can get a direct answer from him about that.
Good luck. I mean, this is the thing, like, you know, the show, but we did on this. I'm still angry about all this. I still got more stories that came in after, like, but this is it. Again, a ticket rep using, oh, this is a limited offer. Well, no, it shouldn't be. Cause then
exactly
is the net. So if this is a limited offer, is the next one going to be better than this? So should I wait to buy my season tickets?
Right.
If you know, already did yours by a certain date and didn't get this perk, and the people in between those dates get the perk, what was the point of you renewing early? It just doesn't make sense. Like, I'm glad it's a good perk. I saw the tweet. It's a great thing. That makes more sense to me than a hotel stay. I would rather have free house money to gamble with.
Yeah.
And like food, but at the same time, if you didn't get the perk and somebody else did, what's the difference? I know that the person who sent it to you, he has tickets elsewhere in the stadium, but sits in the mob, I believe.
Right. Kind of like me for the most part.
I don't know, but there just needs to be a tier system and one base gift for everybody. This willy-nilly BS of who gets what, when, and limited offer. No, this isn't your infomercial for season tickets. Like, call now, get a second. No.
Right.
This is just bad, and I hate it with a passion, and we need to finally do something about the these gifts, get people to buy season tickets with a perk worthwhile that makes me want to spend the 200 and over and more, because I know those 200 are like the Ralph's Mob GA ticket, and that might be 250 or something now. You just need to give something like a gift, just something that makes me want to do it. I'm rehashing everything I said in that episode, but this limited time on these limited offers for whatever is just annoying and it pisses me off.
So tell us I'm how done. You feel, Dan.
Yeah, I'm done.
I've forgotten now what the other thing I was going to say.
Sorry.
That's all right. I guess that's it. If I think of it, I'll throw it out there on Twitter later. So next week, I guess we're kind of back to weekly shows, as long as there's some news for now.
Next week's Thursday because I got to be at work.
Yeah, next week will be Thursday because you're going to be gone from Sunday to Wednesday. You're going to be, I believe, in the belly of the beast.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. So we'll be on Thursday night at 8 o'clock, and then the week after we'll be back to Wednesdays at 8 o'clock. And hopefully we'll have some more things to talk about. We know we will next week. Week after, we'll wait and see. But we'll be getting close to the beginning of preseason by that point. So, yeah. It's been fun to do this again. I missed you, Dan.
Yeah, this was good. I did miss doing this. I missed you, too.
I missed your voice. I'll be like 10 minutes away from you at some point tomorrow, but we all won't get to hang out, even though Jake's still in town, too. This sucks.
I mean, I got to see Jake.
Must be nice.
Yeah, we went to Big Store. My favorite thing about that was we showed up early, and it ended up being trivia night. And not only did one of my ex-girlfriends and her family show up, but like we gave them a couple answers. But Jake and I like would have owned trivia if we would have like played.
Right.
And we were sitting there, and at one point there was a couple to my right. And she kind of heard just Jake and I like blurting out our answers quietly to each other. And one of them was like about the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And right. I said, you know, and I was like, John Roberts. And she like leaned in. She's like, did you say John Robbins? And I was like, no, it's Roberts. So we were just, Jake and I were just owning the trivia and like giving people around us, like my ex-girlfriend's family and this couple to my right answers.
Now
and we should have just been winning.
Let's clarify, not your immediate ex-girlfriend's family.
No. This one's from years ago. She actually took me to my first Routers game with her family.
Dollar Beer Night?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
At least there was a connection there.
Yeah, but it was fun. But anyway, I got to spend time with Jake. Let's wrap this thing up. It is, oh my God, it's almost 9:45.
I know. Well, we didn't start till 8:30, so that's a little bit later than usual. All right, so we'll be back next week talking about some more stuff. And yeah, you know, the same stuff as usual to close the show. We love you. Any specific we love yous?
Does it sound like I love people today?
Hunter Gorski, at least.
Yeah, I mean, have you seen that hair? My we love you goes to Hunter Gorski's hair.
Hunter Gorski, you mean? Hey, the jokes don't get any better, I promise.
Oh, I know. This is year four. Do I know?
And look, these are the ones that make it on the air, not the stuff that just like dies in the DMs.
Yeah.
All right. The Patreon and the Fubo and stuff is still out there. I got a couple scars left, but they're in the garage and it's too cold, so I don't want to go out there and count right now. You can do the rating and review thing wherever you listen to, please, and thank you. And thanks, as always, to Wolfface, Radio St. Pete, Shamrock, and Big Storm Brewery. This has been another episode, the first of Season 4, the season premiere. And we'll be back next week. Talk to you guys later.
Deuces.
The radical there, they get the wall.